CENTCOM, EUROCOM, and OILCOM? In 2004, Michael Clare, a theorist of the global resumption of resource wars, summed up the increasingly obvious. Oil, no longer a mere commodity, had become a national security matter, thereby falling under the purview of the Department of Defense and warranting protection at any cost, including the use of military force. Oil-premised military commitments, he argued, were being conflated with the war on terror. Anti-terrorism and the protection of oil supplies are closely related in administration thinking. When requesting funds in 2004 to establish a rapid reaction brigade in Kazakhstan, for example, the State Department told Congress that such a force is needed to enhance Kazakhstan's capability to respond to major terrorist threats to oil platforms in the Caspian Sea. Notably, Condoleezza Rice, who as Bush's national security advisor dwelt on terrorism, had made her commercial bones during the 1990s as a director of Chevron with a specialty in Kazakhstan negotiations. Others pointed to the changing dispositions of the U.S. military, notwithstanding their minimal amplification in the Pentagon's 2003 Global Posture Review. To sticklers, the 2003 report understated the new oil and gas preoccupation by omitting de facto bases in Afghanistan, Central Asia, the Balkans, and the Persian Gulf. From West Africa to the Strait of Malacca, evidence aplenty suggested that future U.S. base locations would be tied to oil resources and oil transport considerations. Several commentators used the term base mania to describe the string of installations guarding the pipeline corridors and oil production centers of the new imperial frontier. Misleadingly cataloged by the Pentagon or not, the transformations were legion. SOUTHCOM, the U.S. Forces' Southern Command, had units in Colombia protecting Occidental Petroleum's interest in the Caño Limón pipeline. Colombian National Forces, scheduled for similar pipeline duty, subsidized by U.S. military aid, were training under U.S. Army Special Forces personnel at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. EUROCOM, the European Command, supervised U.S. forces instructing the military of the Caucasian Republic of Georgia on how to protect the soon-to-be-completed pipeline from Baku through Georgia en route to the Turkish coast. By 2003, Pentagon officials, also under the rubric of fighting terror, had begun to talk about permanent bases in Senegal, Ghana, and Mali in West Africa, the latter being another rising oil region under EUROCOM jurisdiction. According to the Wall Street Journal, a key mission for U.S. forces in Africa would be to ensure that Nigeria's oil fields, which in the future could account for as much as 25% of all U.S. oil imports, are secure. That summer, General Charles Wald, the deputy EUROCOM commander, visited oil-producing Gabon and the potential oil center of São Tomé, where the United States was contemplating constructing a naval base and paying for feasibility studies on the construction of a deep-water port. General James Jones, the EUROCOM commander, announced that Navy carrier battle groups would shorten future visits to the Mediterranean and spend half the time going down the west coast of Africa. Like so much about oil, Jones's preoccupation can best be understood by looking at a map, where Nigeria, Chad, Cameroon, Gabon, Equatorial Guinea, São Tomé and Príncipe, Congo, and Angola cluster along or near West Africa's Atlantic coast. São Tomé's importance, the islands have become a U.S. focal point, lies in the output expected as international oil companies explore and develop promising offshore fields in the waters between these islands and Nigeria. Controllable by U.S. naval power, West Africa and its waters could be a middling rival to OPEC. Or at least it could help stave off a supply crisis for another 4 to 6 years. Pacific Command headquarters, in turn, announced plans to deploy a small boat squadron to protect oil shipping in the Strait of Malacca, the strategic waterway between Malaysia and Sumatra that opens into the South China Sea near Singapore. Sometimes the troops deployed are hirelings. In Indonesia, Exxon paid the expenses of local forces guarding the company's large gas fields in Aceh, northern Sumatra. Local residents called them Exxon's army. CENTCOM, the Florida-based controller for most of the Middle East, had its AOR, area of responsibility broadened in 1997 to include the oil-rich Caspian Basin. Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan. Several became home to U.S. facilities set up after September 11th. Khanabad in Uzbekistan and the Manas Air Force Base in Kyrgyzstan. Such redeployments, Michael Clare wrote, lead to an inescapable conclusion that the American military is being used more and more for the protection of overseas oil fields and the supply routes that connect them to the United States and its allies. Such endeavors, once largely confined to the Gulf area, are now being extended to unstable oil regions in other parts of the world. Slowly but surely, the U.S. military is being converted into a global oil protection service. Under these circumstances, somewhere near the office of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in the Pentagon's E-ring, one can hypothesize a top-secret overall command center boasting the shorthand for ultimate petro-responsibility, OILCOM.